This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by James Rugg of the Citizen Awareness of the Restructuring of Education. And, James, before the break, we were talking about a whole series of things. You've brought so much data into play in this that it's a little hard to know exactly where to begin because there's so much good, or you might even say bad information in terms of the implications that it has for our society. But when I look at this whole thing, I'm trying to get at the bottom of some of the things that you've discussed thus far so that the leaders can pick up on this and the listeners can pick up on this and perceive the direction of the conversation. We've got an educational system, it seems to me, going back to your data, that certainly between 1934 and the early 1990s has undergone a transformation that's designed to have an increasing amount of state control of education. You've got a system that's designed to get to children at a far earlier stage of development than ever existed before, ostensibly so that the process of bringing the state into their socialization, not the family but the state, can occur at just that much earlier a stage of life. You have the removal, obviously, from the state educational structure of references to a theistic view of creation and of the divine creator, all kinds of implications of that, it seems to me. And then there's this whole business of presuppositions of regionalism and a regionally managed educational system that in conjunction with regional trade treaties and regional trading blocks in the political and economic world both seem to be heading toward the creation of a full-blown, globally managed New World Order. Is that basically where we are on this?
That's where we are. And up to this time, I've kind of gone through a chronology of some of the mindset behind those that are leading this, leading us in the direction that we're going and that we are in right now. Now, the rubber began to hit the road, I think, in about 1979 when the U.S. Department of Education was separated into a separate department, and that, I believe, was during the Carter administration.
Yes.
And from that time on, we really started to get into the nitty-gritty change in the system that we have had to what it is today. It's important to know that the United Nations is kind of the key behind all of this. And not only the United Nations, but the people in the world who control the United Nations. And that's another subject which we can get into a little later. But when I bring up the United Nations, I do that because in 1990, there was a World Educational Conference held in Chamtien, Thailand, by UNESCO, which is, again, the educational arm of the United Nations. And what it produced was what is known as Education for All, which is an educational blueprint and framework for action for the entire teaching of education throughout the world. And the United States was one of about 160 nations that signed that agreement. And the federal laws that we see in place today are based around that document. I have purchased and have analyzed both the Education for All. By the way, your viewers can go to the Agenda 21 on the their web browser and find Agenda 21, then go for the Find Education for All on that.
James, we're going to cut away to a commercial break. Hold that thought. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network, back with James Rugg of the Citizen Awareness of the Restructuring of Education. Stay tuned.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, W-R-I-S-T-E-A-S-E, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, W-R-I-S-T-E-A-S-E.com.
Learn about the new discoveries of MSP Research. Find out about the success MDs, dentists, veterinarians, and others are having with Silver 500. Learn secrets to survival, how to detox the liver, gallbladder, and kidneys, and how over 1,100 doctors are treating Lyme disease, hepatitis C, diabetes, respiratory infections, and many more with success thanks to the help of MSP Research and Silver 500. Microbiologists have tested our mild silver protein and found Silver 500 to be the most effective treatment for B. subtilis, a subgroup of anthrax. Choose the products in your medical supply wisely. Our doctor's manual has grown to over 600 pages. Give us a call at 1-334-493-0420. That's 1-334-493-0420. And see why doctors in five countries use a dozen products that are manufactured by Dr. Bill McFarland. One more time, that's 1-334-493-0420. Or visit our website at www.mildsilverprotein.com/home.html.
Obviously, something serious is going on, politically, economically, geologically, and environmentally. And how you prepare for those changes will determine your well-being in the very near future. Now, whether you're preparing for your family, your business, or your country, the Survival Center has the knowledge and experience to assist you in those decisions. Survival Center is America's premier supplier of family preparedness, health, and survival supplies with over 33 years of continuous operation. Now, you can start preparing with just knowledge, and that's why the Survival Center is offering a book. It's called Basic Preparedness, and it's just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And it'll teach you about the four basics of survival: food, water, medical, and shelter. And when you order that book, you'll also get a free Survival Center catalog. Contact us today so we can help you prepare for whatever comes your way. Call us toll-free at 1-800-321-2900 or online at www.survivalcenter.com.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is James S. Rugg, R-U-G-G, of St. Cloud, Minnesota. He is with the Citizen Awareness of the Restructuring of Education. And, James, before the break, we were getting into a whole series of concepts that I think are highly important to understanding the larger agenda of the folks who want to globalize the American educational system in the interest of creating a new world order. You talked a little bit about this 1990 World UNESCO Conference in Thailand, which produced a so-called World Education Blueprint and a framework for action entitled Education for All. The U.S. was one of about 160 nations that signed the agreement. Federal laws have subsequently followed what this UNESCO conference came up with in 1990. I might add at this particular point that it's significant to me that we see these kinds of events occurring in the last however many years, decades, under both Republican and Democrat administrations. And to me, you've touched upon so many things that we could literally spend hours on at a time. At one point, you alluded to incrementalism, the way in which the full agenda, the full The full story behind all of this has never been presented formally in its entirety to the American people. A lot of this is coming in under radar, and it occurs in terms of incrementalism, which is one of the basic methodologies that I've constantly emphasized on this show, is a part of the total planning methodology of the far left and the globalist left to bring things to pass piece by piece, to allow things to simmer for a time, and then to bring a little bit more into play and a little bit more over time until finally 10, 20, 30, 40 years down the road, the total picture begins to emerge. You were mentioning just as one example of this, Jimmy Carter's role in the development in 1979 of the so-called Federal Department of Education. I'm struck by the fact that having been a delegate to three different Republican state conventions, one in Washington State and two in the state of Texas, that if you go back in the party platform documents that were adopted by those respective state conventions, you'll read an awful lot there that you and I would agree with in regard to the Federal Department of Education, and yet it's noteworthy that every Republican administration since the end of the Carter years and the beginning of Ronald Reagan's tenure, we have seen Republican administration after Republican administration continuing to fund the Federal Department of Education despite the calls of many in the Republican Party, as evidenced by some of their state and national platform documents of the last 30 years, to get out of the thing. And certainly under both Bush administrations, we've seen actual increases, regular increases, in federal funding for the Department of Education. Does this lead us to a point where we can say that, as far as the two major parties are concerned, that conservatives have nothing to gloat about if we happen to get a Republican president elected in 2008, for example? I don't think that's going to happen, but if it does, we might ask the question, will it make any difference? Because certainly since the time of Eisenhower on forward, you have a series of Republican presidents and in recent years Republican congresses that have signed off positively on continuing to fund the Federal Department of Education and continuing the process toward the globalization of our educational system, again, going back to this 1990 UNESCO conference that you cite.
Well, you really opened up a lot of thoughts as you went through that description. Just to talk a little bit about the incrementalism that we see, I spent a lot of time down at the Minnesota legislature because there are people like my group in St. Cloud that have worked with other groups in the state of Minnesota to try to change the outcome-based education system that was put into play in the early 90s. And it took us about 8 years. We did get some movement in the direction of bringing some knowledge back to the system. But it's important to realize that the federal government is pulling the strings with seed money for much of what is coming down to the states. And, you know, they are very, very aware that our Constitution does not give the federal government the right to interfere in education. The word education does not even show up in the Constitution of the United States. The Tenth Amendment basically says that what is not specifically mentioned to be a responsibility of government is left up to the states and the people. And in that, education isn't even mentioned. The federal government really has no business being in education at all, and it should be up to the states and the people to handle. So that's a very important point. And the way some of these laws have come down, we could get into, and we talked about the Education for All format, which is an international United Nations effort. After that 1990 signing of that agreement, the laws that we see in place today began to be implemented, and they were implemented in three different laws. The Goals 2000 law, and we briefly talked about that, the School-to-Work law, which brings the vocational component into it, And also the workforce development law, the first two passed in 1994 and the last passed in 1998. The workforce development component brings the labor and brings labor and education together so that they are functioning more on a complementary basis than they were in the past.
Let me stop you there just for a second. In terms of this workforce development component of this, is it not the case that what you have is not simply the federalization and globalization of the American educational process coming into play through something like this workforce development? But as I'm trying to remember what Charlotte Iserby and I talked about some days ago, I think it was at this point that you could see the marriage of the federal government to some of our multinational corporations in this whole business of the so-called workforce development aspect of the educational situation.
Well, it's very interesting when you begin to study what's happening. I can tell you that the legislators themselves, and not in just my state, but throughout the country, and by the way, this is a countrywide change that is going on, the legislatures have little knowledge of the total end result of what they're doing in their when they pass these laws to comply with the federal government laws. Most of the time, the laws come down not in just when they come down from the federal government and brought to the legislature to be implemented. By the way, they have to do that because the federal government is just the controlling element, but with their seed money. But which, by the way, is only about 10% of the total money it takes to implement most of these mandates that come down from the federal government, which is why our school systems are never going to catch up with the requirement for funding, because the federal government is not providing the money. Although they're providing the mandate, they're not providing the money. So what happens is the laws come down and are sectioned into even smaller components, and they are developed in such a way that they sound like they're the best thing that happened since apple pie. And so the legislatures review these things, and they incrementally pass components of a total law. And by the time they get through passing three or four components, they have a law in place. And that's kind of what's happened through the legislative process. Legislators, just don't have the background knowledge in all these things. They can't be expected to have knowledge in everything. But one of the problems is that the people that are presenting these laws in the legislatures throughout the country, many of them are funded by the taxpayers through federal systems. And what happens is that when these laws are brought through for passage, it is the people that are trying to get their agendas through that are speaking to the legislators. And those who have a different viewpoint get very little time to present their side of the picture. So you get a misbalanced presentation, which usually ends up in the bills getting passed.
Well, in terms of... again, these three federal acts, Goals 2000, School to Work, and then thirdly, the Workforce Development, I think it might be helpful for me and for the listeners to go back to something that we just touched upon a little bit that I know that you're an expert on, James, and that is this whole business of a guy by the name of Mark Tucker, who even before Bill Clinton was elected president or was yet sworn in as president, Mark Tucker wrote to Hillary Clinton, and Hillary Clinton was a director on the board of Tucker's organization entitled the National Center for Economics and Education. And apparently Tucker's organization was designed to remold the entire K-12 educational system into a system for human resources development. That's an interesting buzzword, human resources development. And apparently, as near as I can tell, it was Tucker's system and his so-called National Center for Economics and Education that led to Goals 2000, School to Work, and the Workforce Development Programs, and that all of those acts in turn culminated in something called the No Child Left Behind Act. Let's take this up after the break. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with James Rugg of the Citizen Awareness of the Restructuring of Education. Stay tuned.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is James S. Rugg, R-U-G-G, of St. Cloud, Minnesota, who is with something called the Citizen Awareness of the Restructuring of Education. And James, before the break, I was trying to, in my own mind, trace out something here. You have a series of federal acts, 3 of them, one called Goals 2000, another called School to Work, a third called Workforce Development, and those 3 acts apparently in turn were the basis for something that many of us today know as the so-called No Child Left Behind Act. But before all of this was apparently in 1990 The work of a guy named Mark Tucker in conjunction with both Bill and Hillary Clinton. Tucker is the head of something called the National Center for Economics and Education. He provided apparently the blueprint for remodeling the entire American educational process K through 12 into a so-called system for human resources development. Could we get into this a little bit in terms of what the specifics of Tucker's understanding of all of this was and is, and how that in turn then led to Goals 2000, school to work and workforce development, and how in turn that then led to the No Child Left Behind Act?
Well, I want to give you a little update on the on your sheet that you have there. That was 1992. 11-11-1992, right, a little typo on my sheet there. Mark Tucker was an offshoot of the Carnegie Foundation. He worked for Carnegie, and then he started his own group, basically under the thumb of the people who are moving us toward the system we've been talking about. And it was, by the way, that was entered into the Congressional Register. And it's on page E1819 to E1825 of the Congressional Register, if anybody wants to go and look at that. But I can give you some. Would you like me to give you some of the components that his program encompassed?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And you mentioned the human resource component of this. Our students and our children are no longer thought of as individuals, but they're thought of as human resources for the development of the workload, the work that they'd be doing, will be doing in the future. So some of the components that were part of this letter that was written to Hillary Clinton, because she was a member of the board of the National Center of Economics and Education, it was written to her, but of course it was written so that it would be given to Bill, because Bill had been elected but had not been sworn in as yet. So basically he said in his letter that Bill has 8 years to get this into to this complete change in education put into place. And that's basically when the federal laws were developed and the change that we see in education that occurred in the mid-1990s came into play. Some of the components that he had in his proposal were national standards to set international benchmarks. Now that's important because the word standards is one of the words that is used by the system, and it means a little different concept than what the general public has in the idea of standards. Standards are, you know, something that sounds pretty darn good, and most people want them. But everything that's in the system, in the educational system that's been developed, is all goes right back to the center of the direction they're trying to move us. It's like going to the center of a funnel. Everything moves back toward that second to that the outlet of that funnel. And the fact that these national standards are set to international benchmarks basically means that that we're complying with the International Education for All system. And lifelong learning is one of the basic concepts of the system. And that means that, in this concept, means that whatever student is in the system, doesn't matter whether it's a preschool student or whether it's a worker that's gone back to the educational system because he's lost his job, and he needs some further education to get a new job. Everybody, and the word all is used in capitalization in these documents because it really means everybody. And that means from birth to death. Anybody that goes back to the education system will be indoctrinated into the vocational training system and not the knowledge-based system. Then it goes on to something that I'm seeing happen right in our state today, and that is that the idea of 2 years of high school and 1 year of college will be brought into the concept rather than having 4 years of high school.
We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll continue this conversation with James S. Rugg of the Citizen Awareness of the Restructuring of Education. When we return, stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Obviously, something serious is going on, politically, economically, geologically, and environmentally. And how you prepare for those changes will determine your well-being in the very near future. Now, whether you're preparing for your family, your business, or your country, the Survival Center has the knowledge and experience to assist you in those decisions. Survival Center is America's premier supplier of family preparedness, health, and survival supplies with over 33 years of continuous operation. Now, you can start preparing with just knowledge, and that's why the Survival Center is offering a book. It's called Basic Preparedness, and it's just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And it'll teach you about the four basics of survival: food, water, medical, and shelter. And when you order that book, you'll also get a free Survival Center catalog. Contact us today so we can help you prepare for whatever comes your way. Call us toll-free at 1-800-321-2900 or online at www.survivalcenter.com.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by James S. Rugg, R-U-G-G, of the Citizen Awareness of the Restructuring of Education. And we've been spending the last hour and a half or so, and we'll be talking for the next hour and a half, about what has happened to the American educational process and who and what is behind the development of an educational system that is emphasizing a move toward globalism and the establishment of the New World Order. And James, before the break, we were talking a little bit about Mark Tucker, who in 1992 wrote to Hillary Clinton and indicated to Mrs. Clinton that as a member of Tucker's organization, the so-called National Center for Economics and Education, that there was an ideological agenda that Tucker wanted to see promoted during the Clinton administration to remold the entire K through 12 educational system into a system for so-called human resources development. Then you were starting to unpack for us some of the specifics of Tucker's recommendations that later became so central to what we now know as Goals 2000, the school to work, the workforce development, and then subsequently the No Child Left Behind Act.
Right. As long as we're talking about Mark Tucker, and you remember that he came from the Carnegie Foundation, I want to give you a little quote from Ernest Boyer, who was the president of the Carnegie Foundation in 1983. And he produced a document called High School. And basically he said that we recommend that every high school student complete a service requirement. And they would call that a Carnegie unit. And that it would involve volunteer work in the community or the school. And he said that schools must possess an understanding of a new global agenda and must reform our curricula so as to communicate the agenda, that agenda to their students. So there is the mindset from which Mark Tucker developed. And to get back to the, I was talking about the change in the way high school was handled, and he's recommend Mark Tucker in his letter to Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton recommended that we have 2 years of high school and 1 year of college paid for by the government, and that 80% of the students would go in that direction. And the idea is to go in the direction of vocational training rather than in the direction of a full-blown college degree. Up to that time, I think most of the older folks like myself went through the system. The carrot of moving forward was kept out in front of us to go to the college system after leaving high school. This new system does not it removes the carrot from that concept and puts it in front of the idea of going toward a vocational training situation. And the idea is that people don't need, our students don't need to a full-depth understanding of all of these academic subjects, because they don't need that for the, many of them don't need that for the work that they're going to be doing in industry. And so that's just a waste of this quote-unquote human resources concept. And so we're not supposed to be educating children beyond the level that they will enter the workforce at. They don't need all of this in-depth knowledge-based education that we have received in the past. Well, I think that's a very short-sighted approach towards development of our populace. Seems to me that I'd rather have a very well-educated person out there making decisions rather than a person with limited knowledge. But yeah, that's not the way this new system is.
It seems to me that just thinking this through for a minute, let's say that using Tucker's model and Carnegie's model on this thing, that you have 80% of the students in America in the public educational system going into something that is vocationally based rather than academically based, one would then presume that about 80% of the general population over time would have little or no knowledge of American history, little or no knowledge of the American Constitution, little or no knowledge of the history of Western civilization, and all of that would seem to dovetail with the idea that people without those kinds of historical references and without any background whatsoever in delving into those subjects academically would be fully ripe for the implementation of the New World Order on behalf of the other 20% who would presumably eventually become a part in some way of service to the globalist elite.
Well, you've opened up a lot of different thoughts as we go through this. I have in front of me a book called Rethinking Our Classrooms, and it's published by a group called Rethinking Schools. And they're basically articles by teachers. I think it's instructive to understand that The system that we have in place is, you've probably heard the in your school system, the idea of world class. Well, world class is just the idea of not teaching nationalism, but teaching international governance and demeaning the idea of nationalism. Along that line, what is happening in schools, and we've mentioned the former civics and social studies programs have been changed to the point where the former people that have established our Constitution and Bill of Rights are demeaned, and other people who are part of the agenda that this new group wants to move ahead are brought to the fore as leaders. Now, just to give you an idea of what a couple of the articles say, on page 30 of this particular book, it says, worksheets and mindless tasks fill up children's time. On page 20, it says, teach civilizations instead of Western culture. Now, that's important. The idea of the Eurocentric system that from which most of us came in this country is demeaned in this new educational system. And the idea of that seems to be at work is that you must destroy the system that's in place before you can reintroduce a new system. And that's kind of what is going on in our schools today. Now, it sounds like a bad thought for the teachers. Well, I want to say something about that. I spent 12 years of my life trying to learn about some of these things. Much of that time was spent in committees and with groups of people in the education community. They're very great, wonderful people, but they just don't know what they don't know in many, many cases. And I forgot who came up with that quote, but it's so important. Our college system has trained our teachers these days to this new international thinking and to the context of how to function in the school setting with this new system. And it's completely different from what the knowledge-based system would have been. So most of the teachers, although they are very wonderful people, really do not have an understanding of what is going on as far as the total picture in this country. I brought a lot of what we're talking about to one of the committees that I sat on in our local district system. And when I got through presenting that to the people, which were mostly people within the educational community, they said, well, Mr. Rugg, you must be wrong because I've never heard about any of this. And these things that I had presented to them are the things that you and I are talking about this morning. Another excerpt from page 20 of this particular book, Rethinking Our Classroom, says that on Columbus, people of this continent were tricked, robbed, and murdered. That's not a very pleasant way to present something to children, it seems to me. It says that current education has a racist bias that needs to be purged. It says on page 22, give back to the people the ideas, music, all those things which have been stolen from them and attributed to other folks. Well, this is a very negative way. By the way, this book was handed out to the social studies teachers to be used in their classrooms. And it's very alarming to me to see that kind of thinking brought to our students. Yeah, so that's the kind of thing that's going on in the system.
You know, this gets into something like, for example, the whole process of textbook selection. I have in my personal library all kinds of books on American history and culture and Western civilization and theology and so forth. And some years ago, through the Conservative Book Club, I picked up a series on American history written by a guy named Clarence Carson. I subsequently got a copy of his book, Basic American Government, which is a wonderful, just a fantastic volume. And as I was reading through Clarence Carson's series on American history, and comparing that with the textbooks that are presently being used in the state of Texas in the teaching of American history, to the extent that it's looked at all, you can see just how foundationally different the ideological presuppositions are and how globally oriented these new textbooks are in many cases. And in turn, this gets into the whole question of who's producing these textbooks. And that tends to get back to this whole issue, doesn't it, of the multinational corporations that seem to have a vested interest in the globalization of the perspective.
Well, it all boils back down to our favorite word, money. And what happens is, as this change of education has come along, those who provide the sources for textbooks and so forth fall right in line because that's where their livelihood comes from. And I think it's very important that you mention the textbooks, because I think if you have a scholar in a particular area like a history or civics or something like that, that understands the true meaning of the subject, and you have them review a textbook that is offered in your schools today, you're going to find in almost all cases that there is a tremendous amount of misinformation that's given to the students as actual factual material from these textbooks. So much of what is used as textbooks these days has been skewed to reflect the thinking of the new system.
Yes, and this to me has even impacted mainstream private and parochial education in the United States. For example, without naming the name of the school or the system involved, I know someone in the city of San Antonio that is involved in parochial school education, and a very fine person, by the way. And I was looking one time at a textbook being used in that setting that involved American history. And I went back into the section, for example, on the American War between the states, and was reading certain things about Abraham Lincoln. And the reason I mention Lincoln is a few months ago on this show, I had a guy named Thomas DiLorenzo on who authored a book entitled The Real Lincoln, which you can buy at Amazon or Barnes & Noble or Borders. This guy is a economics professor at Loyola College in Maryland, and is regularly read in outlets like LouRockwell.com, and is generally seen to be probably the leading, if I can use this word advisedly, the leading revisionist scholar in the world on Abraham Lincoln. And reading DiLorenzo's book on Abe Lincoln, which presents, I think, a far more factual account with far better analysis of the implications of the Lincoln presidency than anything that I've read in the, what should we call, the establishment textbooks of the American educational system in the last 30 years or so that have also crept into religious schools and private schools in the country. It's like, hey, we've got two different Lincolns being presented here, two different versions of American history, two different takes on the war between the states, two different takes on what was behind that war and what the ramifications of that war were in terms of the constitution of the country, the centralization of power, the movement toward an all-encompassing chief executive, and so forth and so on. I guess the point of all of this is that just in isolating the American War between the states and Abraham Lincoln, the 16th president of the United States, that when you look at the difference between DiLorenzo's perspective and what's going on in the establishment textbooks, it's like, hey, there are two different competing historical, ideological, constitutional, and philosophical views that are in play here. And if children are not made aware of this, if parents are not made aware of this, then in a not-so-subtle fashion, there is a particular spin on these events that they're being given, in many cases, even in the public and private, even in the private and parochial schools.
Well, when the only textbooks available are those that give a spin to what the facts are, that's what eventually gets taught. And, you know, it's very important that those who are teaching our children are honorable about what information they give them, and that we're not getting that today because there's an agenda at work, and that's the problem. I mentioned earlier that the civics and social studies programs of the past have been kind of removed from our system, and it's causing some problems. So the federal government, by the way, is not supposed to be involved in curriculum, but they are getting more involved as we speak. And the first indication of that is that there's a new group called National Centers for Civics and Government that is a non-governmental organization funded by the federal system that has produced a book called We the People, which is the Citizen in the Constitution, which is the textbook to be used throughout the country for teaching children what our Constitution and our Bill of Rights mean. Now, that book skews, there's some very important things that are happening. Some of what's in the book is accurate, but those things that the people who developed this don't want brought to the students are basically just not talked about in the book. And one of the bigger problems I see in the book is that we have a system of separation of powers in this country. Well, what this new book calls our separation of powers is shared powers.
We will be back, and let's take up that concept when we return, James. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas.
Ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Your life demands long-lasting power for everything. If you want to find the best battery selection at the best prices, then BatteryStation.com is the place for you. Find common or hard-to-find batteries for practically everything, from computer backup units and camcorders to cell phones and wheelchairs. Go to BatteryStation.com for all your battery supply needs. At BatteryStation.com, you'll also discover high-tech LED tactical flashlights for every task, from trusted names like Surefire, Tektite, Gerber, Pelican, and more. BatteryStation.com offers lights featuring super bright, super tough, long life LED technology. At BatteryStation.com, you'll find tough, crush proof, waterproof, airtight, hard cases of all sizes from Pelican, Otter, and S3 Extreme. Visit them today, BatteryStation.com. It's all one word, BatteryStation.com. Or call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. Your source for batteries and accessories at very low prices. BatteryStation.com.
Thank you.
back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by James S. Rugg, R-U-G-G, of St. Cloud, Minnesota. He's with a group entitled The Citizen Awareness of the Restructuring of Education, and I think that this broadcast does an excellent job of reinforcing and bringing some new data into the mix in regard to what we talked about with Charlotte Iserby on this show some days ago. And I wanted to mention to our guests and also to the listeners that in the next 10 minutes or so, this will be a period of time of some frequent commercial interruptions, and then there will be a longer period of time, again, for more sustained conversation. I'd like to ask you, those of you listening to this broadcast, if you'd consider supporting the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can contact us at republicbroadcasting.org. That's republicbroadcasting.org. Or give us a call at the office at 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. You can also obtain from the Republic Broadcasting Network Aaron Russo's new DVD, America, Freedom to Fascism. That DVD is yours for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling by, again, contacting us at republicbroadcasting.org or giving us a call at 1-800-724-2719. The call-in number today is 1-800-313-9443. If you have a question for me or for James Rugg, and James, before the break, we were talking a little bit about something involving, on the one hand, the so-called separation of powers, constitutionally understood, and something, on the other hand, that is referred to by some people as a sharing of powers. What's the difference?
The book that I'm speaking of, that we're speaking of at the moment, is the We the People, the Constitution, the Citizen and the Constitution. It was developed by the National Standards for Civics and Government, and this was developed to be used as a textbook in the schools throughout the country. Let me give you a couple of quotations from this book. On page 202 of this book, it says, "The achievements of modern technology are turning the world into a global village." It also says, "The culture that we live in is becoming cosmopolitan, that is, belonging to the whole world. American citizens are increasingly international." Issues of economic competition, the environment, and the movement of peoples around the world require an awareness of political associations that are larger in scope than the nation state. Very important, because they're moving us toward the concept that international governance should be looked to rather than national governance. On page 207, it says, "As fundamental and lasting as its guarantees have been, the U.S. Bill of Rights is a document of the 18th century and reflect the issues and concern of the age in which it was written." So these people want to rewrite the basic structure of our Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and that is what is to be taught to our students. So this idea of what's in our textbooks, which you brought up and is very important, is something that everybody should be concerned about. They should go to their schools and see what textbooks are being used and analyze them to see if they're actual factual information that's given to our students.
Yeah, and I'll bet you that there isn't one parent in 100 in the public educational system that is going through those textbooks with that kind of procedure. That's just a guess on my part. That reflects a certain cynicism, admittedly. But I would suspect that there is an incredible amount of blind trust in the American educational system that has led to some of the very problems that you cite.
Public education does an excellent job of presenting their position.